Eventually, we're going to get the speaker system worked out. I don't know how, but we're going to. About 30 years ago, there was the first Superman movie. And then with the advance in technology, another Superman movie came to the American movie screen, and people absolutely flocked to that particular movie. In fact, in one weekend, it grossed over $100 million. Now, Superman is a fictitious person, along with the other 39 people who have made the screen. But people need heroes. People are always looking for heroes. And it seems like Superman really kind of fills that void in people's lives, unfortunately. Remember, that's a fictitious person. As a boy, I liked Superman comics. In those days, you could buy a Superman comic book for 10 cents. My brother and I would do almost anything to get 10 cents so we could get another Superman comic book. I had two lady cousins who read those crazy romance novels in comic books, and they talked us into trading. Bad mistake. They promised they would give us back our Superman comic books, but we never saw them again. I still have that in my heart about those two gals. But I'm trying to be forgiving. It seems like human beings are always looking for a hero. And we've been told, when I studied psychology, I learned that most people need some kind of a person or hero to look up to make them conscious of their own well-being. That may be true and it may not be true. But people do need a hero. And that's true in the Christian world as well. One thing about it, I don't have to look up when the Broncos are going, Broncos, oh, bad word. When the Chiefs are going to play, all I have to do is ask Terry. I don't know if that's one of his favorite situations in life, but Terry always knows when the I got Broncos on my head this morning. Bad. Anyway, he knows when the Chiefs are going to play. They're going to play at noon today. So I didn't know that, but I do know after I talked to Terry. Christians tell me about their heroes. I have some who say, well, I listen to David Jeremiah three times a day. Others listen to Swindoll. Others do this. Others do that. It seems like people are really concerned about getting some kind of a hero in their life. But you know, there is only one real hero, and that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a fictitious person. He's not on radio. He's not on television. He's in your heart. And it's amazing what we have learned in this series of messages during the Christmas season entitled, Who is Jesus? And the first thing we learned is that he's the Son of God. And Jesus on several occasions, or the Lord on several occasions said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And Peter the disciple When he was asked who, when Jesus asked him who Jesus was, he said, "He's the Christ, the Son of the living God." Even the Roman soldiers at the cross said, "Truly, he was the Son of God." So Jesus is, in my estimation, the only true hero that we need to be concerned about. I don't know what we would do without the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we saw that Jesus was also called the Son of Man twice as much as he was called the Son of God. There has never been anyone like Jesus Christ. He is unique, one of a kind. There'll never be another one. He is it. He's way beyond Superman. He's way beyond Captain Marvel. He's way beyond all of those fictitious people that are so prolifically advertised today. Jesus Christ was both fully God and fully man. He limited some of his divinity, but he still had enough to do some mighty powerful miracles, and we're thankful for that. Are you able to hear me through this microphone? Okay. I'll try to use it correctly, and we hope that we'll have some different apparatus by next week. So today we look at Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the third message that we're going to be emphasizing, Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I'm going to read this from the King James, the old King James. Many of you first heard the Christmas story from the old King James. I didn't for a long time. We attended a church once a year, and they spoke German. So the first time I heard the Christmas story, it was in German, but I really like it in English. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Actually, the word afraid is better translated terrified. Now, I want you to think about these shepherds. They were the lowest of the low. They were not supposed to even go to the temple. They were not given any prestige at all. They were looked down upon as the lowliest of the low. And so it's interesting to me that who does the Lord Jesus Christ appear to first of all, or his birth? To these lowly shepherds. And they got so excited about it, they decided to go in and see what in the world was going on. So on the night that people drifted asleep, on the night that they were tired after working all day, the Lord Jesus Christ did a wonderful miracle. He brought forth a child, and that child was none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know that a Savior was being born. But thank God that we have a Savior right now, today, this morning. The glory of the Lord shone around them. I did a lot of research on this word glory. It's almost impossible to take that word from the Greek language and put it into English. The glory of the Lord. We don't pay much attention to that. We just read it and say, well, the glory of the Lord. What did that look like for those shepherds? What was the glory of the Lord? Well, the best I could come up with is The glory of the Lord was the holiness of the Lord God. And the glory was depicted in many colors. And so for these disciples who had never, ever been associated with the glory of the Lord, it was terrifying. And finally the angel had to say, "Don't be afraid, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And they evidently paid attention to that, and the terror that they had experienced as they were surrounded by the glory of the Lord and by a host of angelic beings from heaven who sang the glory of God. I don't know what we would have done in such a situation. We aren't shepherds in the sense that they were shepherds. We aren't looked down upon as being inferior. But if we experienced the glory of God, we would probably be just as terrified today as they were then. But they overcame it. Praise the Lord that they did. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes or strips of cloth, lying in a manger." From a human standpoint, this was no ordinary night. People went to bed thinking it was an ordinary night, but it certainly was not an ordinary night, because it was the night that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as a babe. King Herod had no idea what would happen that night. People drifted off to sleep after their hard day of work, and the world simply did not know that a Savior was being born on that particular night. But the angels knew, and eventually the shepherds knew, even though it jarred them out of their complacency, terrified them, and they were surrounded by the glory of God. I don't know what that would really amount to in our lives, to be surrounded by the very glory of God. I think we would just be like those shepherds. We would also be terrified. But thank God that they overcame that. So for there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Remember that these shepherds were outcasts totally and completely. They couldn't go to the temple. They were looked down upon by everybody. And yet, who did the Lord come to first? Who did he announce the birth of the Savior? He came to these lowly shepherds, who were despicable in the eyes of the rest of the Jewish nation. And yet it was to them that he came and said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And he, notice what it said, "born for you, unto you," talking to these shepherds, "a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." What a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about, that these shepherds, so despised, so looked down upon, were the ones who the angel said, "Unto you this day is a Savior born for you." And my goodness, they were excited about that. What a concept of the marvelous grace of God. He didn't go to the wealthy. He didn't bring his glory to the religious leaders. He brought his glory to a bunch of shepherds sitting around the fire, doing what shepherds do, talking, probably not in the best kind of language, but here comes the angels. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Try to put yourself in that context. Try to put yourself in the context of being a shepherd. Look down upon, not considered worth two hoots and a holler, but the angels came and said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What a marvelous concept of the grace of God. To go to the lowest of the low, to go to the most despicable, and to announce the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. What's he saying to these shepherds? He's saying, come to Jesus today. He'll not turn you away. No matter what we are, no matter what has happened in our lives, no matter what sin, no matter what shortcomings, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. And I don't know about you, but that includes me. We're all lost because we all sin. The scripture says all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's certainly what the scripture says. And in the process of this, all of a sudden, just snap your finger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if that would happen? If our earth would experience peace and goodwill toward one another. Whether they were in some far-off village, no matter where. But that's coming, by the way. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return one of these days. I don't know when. I wish I did. But he's going to come again, and there will be peace on earth, and there will be goodwill toward men. And the lamb will lay down with the lion, and there will be peace like we have never known or experienced peace before. Right now, there is no peace. One of my favorite Christmas songs is, there is no peace on earth, I said, because it's so true. But that day is going to fade away one of these days. God's plan of salvation is all about Jesus coming as a Savior for the entire world. And you know what? Who went out and told people? It was those lowly shepherds. The scripture says they went to Bethlehem and experienced what they were told about Jesus. And when they came back, right away they began to tell other people. What does that say about us? Who do we tell? These lowly shepherds are the ones who verbally told everybody they came in contact with that a Savior had been born in Bethlehem of Judea. Everybody, they didn't care who they were, what they were, they told them. And though they in turn told others. And that's how the message got spread. God's plan of salvation taken to the world through lowly shepherds. Looked down upon. But they are the ones who the angels appeared to. And they are the ones who went out and spoke the word. And every place they went. And when they went back to taking care of their sheep, they were different. They were changed. They had experienced the glory of God. And they had experienced the message of God. Wow. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Think about that for just a moment. They knew that the think about the angels. They had been in association with the Son. We don't know how long, but they saw the Son in power. They saw him as the Son of God, who God said, "You can do the creation," and he did. And now all of a sudden, they find this little baby in a manger. Must have been a big lesson for the angelic host. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were totally amazed. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. From Luke, the second chapter, verses 19 through 20. I think that's 15. Yeah, 15 through 20. Wow, what a wonderful thing. Are you as good as a shepherd? Who did you tell this week about the glory of Jesus Christ? I know that some of you talk to some people. I know that because I talked to you before church. But that's one of the things that we need to do constantly and continually. Nothing about Jesus is natural. He is supernatural from start to finish. His death, his resurrection are all supernatural. Many things our human minds cannot fully understand, but we praise God because we're talking about a supernatural being. We accept it all by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm going to close this morning with a true story. It's pretty complicated, but it is a true situation. 16-year-old Anessa was diagnosed with a very serious form of leukemia. Most patients die within 5 years unless they receive a bone marrow transplant. Abe and Mary, her parents, were tested, no match. No match was found in a nationwide search. There was one brother, there was no match there. The best hope lay in a marrow transplant from another sibling, but they didn't have such a thing. So what did they do? Abe and Mary stepped out in faith. Now, this is fairly complicated. First, Abe had to have his vasectomy surgically reversed. That's only about a 40% success rate. But that's what Abe did. Next, Mary eventually became pregnant at age 43. And there was only a 1 in 4 chance that the baby's bone marrow would match Anessa's. And time was ticking away. That 5 years was coming up fast. But in April of 1990, a baby girl was born. Fetal stem cells and bone marrow were determined to be completely compatible. But this is a baby. You can't take a little newborn baby and extract from it the bone marrow and life and inject it in another person. So they had to wait. And finally, in April of 1990, it was determined that the fetal stem cells were compatible, but they still had to wait. And finally they did. And when the baby grew old enough and strong enough to donate marrow safely, even while her older sister's life was ticking away, not much time left. So at 14 months, old, the baby's sister lay on an operating table. A surgeon inserted a 1-inch long needle and into her hip and began to withdraw not just ordinary bone marrow, but the ingredients of life. And they were able to inject that into Anessa, and she lived. Miracle after miracle. People who stepped out in faith that probably the most people would not do. But they did. And the miracle took place, and a new life was born. And for that marrow to be compatible was a miracle. All those miracles happened, and Anessa lived, and the family praised God. I don't know if we would be strong enough to do everything that that family did in order to save Anissa's life. But they did it, and God blessed them for it. So the thing I want you to get out of this message is that we're no better than the Jewish shepherds. We are faced many times in our lives with situations that require us to step out in faith. And this is truly an example of people stepping out in faith to save the life of their daughter. And a true story, nothing fictitious about it, nothing made up about it, but that's exactly what they did. And we praise God for their faith. We praise God for what they were able to do. And all along the way, trusting in the Lord. And remember this, without faith it's impossible to please him. Those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this morning, I know we have a couple here, and you don't want to come forward. Do you want to come forward? Okay. We have a couple here who have joined our church, and I'm going to ask them to come forward to receive their certificate, and I'm going to ask the elders to come and pray for them. So let's be standing and do our hymn of invitation.